Welcome to Using Our Library Voices, a podcast that represents yet another way that Harris County Public Library enriches lives to strengthen communities. Hello, my name is Sadina Shawver. I'm an assistant branch manager in youth services at the Barbara Bush Branch in Cypress Creek. March is celebrated in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia as Women's History Month in recognition of International Women's Day on March 8th. Did you know that much like the library's summer reading program, there are annual themes? In 2008, the theme was Women's Art, Women's Vision, where artists like Frida Kahlo and performers like Josephine Baker were remembered for their contributions and bravery. In 2017, it was honoring trailblazing women in labor and business. Today, that frontier-like trail is nebulous and often exists on the virtual plane where leaders like Bumble CEO Whitney Wolfhard and Blavity co-founder Morgan DeBon find spaces for women that are traditionally overlooked in their fields. These themes are meant to provide a focal point for the public to reminisce, to find a woman in history or even our own families we can point to and proudly say, "Hey, she did that. She persisted." Let's take a look back at 2023's theme of Celebrating Women Who Tell Our Stories by discovering the histories and inspiration behind some of our library branch's namesakes. Libraries are all about telling stories. We do it in story time. We dedicate thousands of shelves to millions of stories that we write for each other. And across the social media platform, we create stories to provide snapshots of our day. While the production team chose the branches to spotlight in this episode, these five branches are in no way an exhaustive look at the women we honor through our library system. If you're ever curious about the impact women have had on your community, please ask your friendly neighborhood librarian. We're always happy to share our local and not-so-local heroes. Here on the north side of Harris County in Cypress Creek, my branch is named after former First Lady Barbara Bush. Makes sense that we'd look to such an outspoken literary advocate when the time came for our dedication.
Hello everyone, my name is Janet Castañon, coming to you from Barbara Bush Library. I have with me our branch manager, Shane Harris. How are you doing today, Shane?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very good. In recognition of March being Women's History Month, we are talking about the patron saint our branch is named after, former First Lady and champion of early literacy, Barbara Bush. Now, I believe that she is a known name, but for those who do not know who she is, Shane, can you tell us a little bit of who she was?
Well, yeah, as you point out, I'd be a little surprised if people haven't heard of her. I would describe her as a powerful matriarch who was a strong advocate for literacy. She was a First Lady. She was the mother to the 43rd president, as well as the mother of one of Florida's governors. She established a literacy foundation that continues to provide support even today to our community and to advance literacy efforts. And so when it comes to libraries, especially in this area, she is very important to helping us accomplish our goals.
Thank you. Do you know why this library was named after her?
So that's an interesting question. I wasn't sure about that. So I asked around and I got a lot of different answers. And I finally got some help because someone reached out to the director at that time who kind of had some background. And it really came down to the Friends group here recognizing how influential she has been and wanting to honor her for everything that she has done for literacy. And so they asked the commissioner if they could put her name on the library, and she happily agreed, and that is how we became named after Barbara Bush.
I think that's very interesting because just the fact that the community came together to make the library named after her, I think that's very interesting that everybody bound together to do that. So that's pretty cool. Is there anything interesting that you can tell our listeners about Ms. Barbara Bush?
Well, I find it interesting that even though I'm not a children's librarian, I was able to discover that she's been published twice. And in both of those instances, she was published as a children's author. And the books are from the perspective of their pets, in both cases, pet dogs. And it is a look at the life of being a president's dog, for instance. So it's from their point of view, and I found that very interesting.
I'm definitely going to check those out to see if I can go ahead and read that to my son. I think he will really, really like that. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Shane, for answering those questions for us, and I hope everybody's having an amazing day.
If you travel to the east, past the Bush Intercontinental Airport, you'll find the smaller but very charming Octavia Fields Branch in Humble. Why pick up an overpriced bestseller while waiting to board your flight when you can check out a stack of beach reads from down the street?
Little Octavia was born on a Texas spring day, March 29th, 1891. She grew up in Texas, reading works by poet John Milton and writing literature of her own. She attended Sam Houston State University and graduated with a degree in teaching, using her education to teach school children for a time. She would later marry Charles Fields and move to Humble. Together, they raised six children while running a business of their own, Rosewood Funeral Home, which still serves the Humble community today. Charles unexpectedly passed in 1947. Leaving Octavia to raise her younger children and run the business on her own. Her independent spirit, strength, and resolve served her well in those challenging times. She continued her work as a well-known businesswoman and civic leader in the area until she passed in 1962. Octavia believed in fairness and faith, in people and patriotism, in education and giving back. So it's no surprise that when Humble inaugurated a new library location in 1969, it was her name that graced the building. In 2021, two of her grandsons, former Congressman Jack Fields and Jess Fields, owner of Rosewood Funeral Home, visited the library to talk about their memories of their grandmother. Octavia never knew the library was named after her, so we asked them what they thought she might say about having her name on the building. They agreed that she would be thrilled and honored, but she would probably think other people were more deserving of the honor. Octavia was a humble woman who did not seek the spotlight, but we are proud to shine a light on her memory as we serve the humble community daily, the community she also loved and dutifully served daily.
Continuing east, past Lake Houston, and towards our Creole neighbors who are world-renowned for their parties and jazz, you'll find one of our newest additions to the lineup, the Edith Faye Cook Cole Branch in Crosby. This branch hasn't had its moniker for long, but we know she'll soon become the landmark her community deserves.
Edith Faye Cook Cole was born on January 8, 1925. She graduated from Crosby High School in 1941, from Texas Women's University in 1945 with a bachelor's degree in foods and nutrition, and then again in 1948 with a master's degree in institution management. Edith Faye would go on to work at Texas Women's University, University of Southwestern Louisiana, and the University of Houston, as well as Memorial Hermann Hospital. She and her husband Charles retired to Crosby in 1985, where she then authored Crosby's Heritage Preserved, 1923 to 1949. In 2008, for her work on the project, the governor at the time, Rick Perry, commissioned her a Yellow Rose of Texas, an award given only through the office of the governor to recognize Texas women for their significant contributions to their communities and to the state of Texas in the preservation of its history, the accomplishments of its present, and the building of its future. Edith Fay also served as president of Harris County's Precinct 2 Channel View Senior Citizen Organization, was a charter member of the Crosby Historical Society, and was named Woman of the Year by the Crosby Huffman Chamber of Commerce. Because of her work in preserving Crosby's history and her dedication to her town, the Crosby Branch Library was renamed the Edith Fay Cook Cole Branch Library in 2017. A copy of Edith Fay's book can be found in the library that bears her name, as well as the State Library in Austin.
Now we're going to swing so far south in the county, you'll practically kiss NASA. The Evelyn Meter Branch not only has some of the most calming windowside views, Kima Boardwalk is practically next door. If you're looking for a reason to day trip to Clear Lake, these two are the perfect companions.
Hello everyone, my name is Gabrielle Vogel and I am an adult program specialist in the Harris County Public Library System. Today I'll be talking a bit about a woman named Evelyn Meter. Evelyn is the namesake of our lovely library here in Seabrook, Texas, and we're excited to talk about her and her life today with all of you. So our first point of discussion, who was Evelyn Meter? Well, she was an intelligent, inquiring, and generous woman and a longtime Seabrook, Texas resident. She was a teacher by trade, an avid reader, and of course, a strong library supporter. She married her husband, Rex Meter, in 1929, and the couple moved to Houston after they were married, where they had their daughter, Lynn. In 1985, Evelyn and Rex made the decision to donate 6 acres of land to the city of Seabrook, on the condition that a library was built on the property. Now, this fact leads us into our next point of discussion. Why is the library named after Evelyn? Well, of course, she and Rex donated the acres of land to the city, but there was another element to this. The original friends of the library group, a group that raises money for the library, they voted that the new library be named after Evelyn. And they felt that it was fitting, as she was such a strong advocate for libraries and such a lifelong learner. The Friends of the Library surprised Evelyn at the annual meeting in 1985 with their decision. Now, Evelyn, of course, is such a strong library supporter, but she was also a multifaceted woman. She graduated valedictorian of her senior class at Center High School, which checks out because her daughter, Lynn, stated that her mother, Evelyn, had, quote, a very inquiring mind and never got tired of learning. Evelyn was also a passionate fisher. The Meters lived in Islamorada, Florida, every winter from November to April so that Evelyn could compete in sail fishing contests. So these are just a few little fun facts about Evelyn Meter, the very basics of her amazing life and how she affected us here in Seabrook and at Harris County Public Libraries. And I hope all of you have learned a little something, and I'm very thankful to have shared Evelyn's story with you guys today. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Coming back up through the county to the west side, you'll come across our last stop for this episode. The Maud Marks Branch in Katy is the poster child for location, location, location. For such a petite lady, she provides services that rival the county's top 5 branches, mine included.
If you visit the Maud Smith Marks Library today, you'll find it to be situated in a heavily populated suburban area, just south of I-10 between Katy and the Energy Corridor. Just 5 miles northeast of the Maud Marks Branch, though, you can find a historical marker for what's left of the LH7 Ranch, once one of the largest ranches in southeast Texas, and home to the namesake of the Maud Smith Marks Branch Library when she married rancher E.H. Marks as a 20-year-old in the early 1900s. Maud Marks was a lifelong voracious reader and patron of the arts. An early sponsor of the Houston Symphony, she made a point to, on occasion, bring her rancher husband and 4 children into town to see a ballet or opera. Not long after the Harris County Public Library founded in 1921, Maud Marks took it upon herself to found her own library, contracting a very young HCPL to send books to a church where she issued library cards and managed the collection for the community by herself. Some 60 years later, when a group of people banded together to raise money for a new library for the now rapidly expanding area, these folks uncovered the history of Maud Marks' original library and dedicated the branch's name in her honor. Current Maud Marks branch manager Akila Bott spoke with longtime Friends of the Maud Marks Library board member Charlotte Brooks to learn more about the history of how the name was chosen and approved in 1988.
Hello, Charlotte. Thank you so much for coming today. You have been such an awesome Friends member, and I really appreciate you taking your time to come today. I just wanted to say that it is so wonderful to see that our current Friends group shows the same passion and support for the library that the original Friends group was instrumental in bringing this building up from nowhere to being a branch now for 30 years. So we are thankful to the Friends group who started this originally and the ones that have been continuing the support for the library for all these years.
It's been a wonderful progression to watch since I moved here 30 years ago, and I've stayed active in it so far 29 years.
Wow, that's awesome. So
I've always been a big reader. And when I walked into Maud Marks, it was just like so wonderful. The people were wonderful. Mm-hmm. The library became my happy place to go.
Oh, how nice.
And it still is. It's remained and gotten even better over the years.
Yes. Can you tell me your full name?
Charlotte Brooks. And my family's been involved also, mainly with the book sales.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're here all the time.
If I don't come every week, I have withdrawal symptoms. The thing I was so impressed by is that so many people were involved in raising money, and then it goes back to the library, mm-hmm. and it just became kind of a passion.
That's awesome. So can you tell me a little bit about Maud Marks' legacy as a librarian to the Barker-Katy community?
She was an incredible woman, and I was so fortunate to meet Atha Diamond Marks when I first came here. Mm-hmm. And it was like having a living history of the library, going back 100 years, because Maud Marks came here in 1907 from Minneapolis when she was 20, mm-hmm. and then met a rancher. She was very refined. Mm-hmm. He spoke German and cowboy. So she not only, brought a lot to the table, but she also got her husband interested in books.
Wow.
And Shakespeare and philosophy. What I saw in Atha was she, you could see her mother in her, and mm-hmm. when she told stories about her mother. And one of the stories I remember about Atha, and she worked for the Friends on the book sales in her 80s and 90s. Very strong woman. And we tried to recycle books that we couldn't use, like mm-hmm. when the Bastrop fires mm-hmm. came, and we sent books out to them. And the other thing about Atha that I remember, she would gather up her family members, including her sister Maudine, mm-hmm. who was more of a rancher type, like her dad. And they would tell us stories about, growing up with Maud Marks. And not only did Maud Marks start the first library here, but she also brought a lot of culture, and the Maud Marks family was ahead of their time in introducing indoor plumbing and electricity. They were
really
very, very talented family.
Oh, wow.
In many different ways.
It is so lovely to hear from you all those things that I didn't even know.
They had this ranch called the L87 Ranch. Mm-hmm. And by the 1930s, the ranch had about 30,000 acres. But Maud Marks, even as a child, grew up with books, always had 3 or 4 books on her nightstand. So she was very well educated, became a teacher, I think, in her teens, and because her mother died early. She was so instrumental in bringing culture and education to the Katy area. Mm-hmm. And then she just wanted to make sure that the ranching and farming people in the area that might not have had the chance at education like she did, that she would provide a way for them to
have access to books and knowledge. That's awesome.
What she did was, since there weren't that many books out here, she contracted with Harris County to have books delivered to Barker, and then she kept them at the church and set up library cards so that they had plenty of books out here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was in the 1920s.
Wow. She was a trailblazer from that point of view, because, you know, who would think about doing all those things that was not a norm at that time?
Yeah, she just had a lot of energy, and I could see that in Aitha too.
So how was Maud Marks, the family name, chosen as the namesake for the library?
The friends who met at first in 1984, and then for the next 9 years, they developed sources of income. They worked really hard. I was not here then, but I heard all the stories about mm-hmm. how hard they worked. They were originally known as Friends of the Mason Creek Library, and they got a real estate developer, Vincent Ciccarello,
mm-hmm.
and he donated the land for the library. And then the friends worked on just the community and other donations from corporate sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we do that to this day too, as you know. So the original Friends group were the ones that discovered all the talents of Maud Marks, and they decided to name the library after her.
That's nice to know the history behind that.
So it's been 36 years since the Friends were founded. You know, they've continued Maud Marks's legacy by opening the library.
Yes.
And I think it's such a wonderful story.
Yes, it is.
Very inspiring. And
thank you for sharing that with us today. It's really with me today, because it's really, I've heard bits and pieces of it, but it's nice to have this picture in front of me now.
You can trace her impact on the community for over 100 years as her legacy lives on. And she was a pioneering woman, and we're so grateful that she's part of our history.
Yes, that's so true. Is there any other memories from the dedication day or anniversary celebrations or stories that you can tell about other members of the Maud Marks family?
Aitha was definitely a close friend mm-hmm. and an inspiration to me. Maudine was quite a character herself and very talented in her own way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She went the route, you know, of farming and cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that, in fact, we had a plow in the lobby for many years until we ran out of space. But Maudine was quite a character, and I think she had a ranch out west of here. So she and Aitha were quite a contrast, but they were both talented in their own ways.
Oh, wow.
And it was fun to hear them, the contrast, you know, between the rancher farmer side of the Marks and then the educated, cultured side of the
mm-hmm,
Marks.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all fascinating. I think Maud Marks would be very proud of her legacy in this library.
Yes, for sure. I've met some of their family members at previous anniversary celebrations, and they're always so proud and such a good, they show up as a family together and fond lovingly towards the library.
Very supportive. The
very
other supporting thing was the trail rides.
Yes.
And the family just every year went on those. And I think Aitha, I remember, went on horseback and got a plaque that she had been riding the longest on the trail rides.
The saltgrass?
Yeah. They did it every year. That's been a nice tradition for the family.
Yeah.
And continues to this day, I believe.
Thank you so much for doing that, Charlotte. Is there anything else you want to add?
What I want to say about the Friends is that we all see how we can make a difference in our community.
Yes.
And the volunteers work very hard. But it's worth it when we see how the money is used and spent for all the wonderful programs in the library. And I will say, every month I look at the calendar and I see there's something for everybody, something for every age group.
Age group to do. That and you're exactly right.
And I've seen that evolve more and more over the years. And every month when I see the newsletter, there's some new things that pop up.
Yes.
So I think the library stayed very innovative.
Thank you. And thank you for the support of the Friends of the Library, because without your solid support and team effort, it's not possible for us to do all the things that we do. And you guys are always so supportive in everything that we do. So
it's been
thankful for that.
Our pleasure and my passion.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Using Our Library Voices. If you enjoyed this episode, we welcome you to subscribe to the Using Our Library Voices podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. For more information on any of the resources and books mentioned in this episode, please contact your local library or visit our website at www.hcpl.net. This podcast episode was produced by Mary Mink, edited by Kara Ludwig, and hosted by Sedina Shaver, with featured voices from Janet Castagnon and Shane Harris, Miranda Guillory and Gabrielle Vogel, Akila Bott and Charlotte Brooks, Caitlin Helberg, Laura Hancock, and Sarah West.